You know, the Bible says, we're all familiar with the verse in the Old Testament that says, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Well, there's other benefits. One is peace with God. You have peace with God. Inner peace. You know, there used to be in the 70s, I guess, there was a movement called the Inner Peace Movement. But it wasn't inner peace through God. But God gives us peace when we're justified. If a person does not know they are justified, then they're an easy target for Satan to tell them that the promises of God aren't for them because they don't qualify. You're not righteous enough. You're not good enough for that. Who do you think you are? And then they get under condemnation. And like Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness. And then they become hypocrites because the devil sees to it that they don't live up to their own rules. And other people notice that. Understanding righteousness is a very important key to living a successful Christian life. Look over at James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Says, confess your faults or confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or the working prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's been many a prayer life sidetracked because the devil told them they weren't righteous, and that's the reason their prayers weren't answered. Amen. The working prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means the working prayer of any and every Christian avails much, because we're all declared righteous. But the devil will tell you that there's no reason for you to pray, or the reason your prayers aren't answered is that you're not righteous, when in fact the reason your prayers are not answered is they're either not biblical or you're not in faith. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, another scripture on prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, against the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Don't take up carnal weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Take up the whole armor of God. Why? Because the armor of God is spiritual and your enemy is spiritual. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, if you don't know that you're righteous, you couldn't possibly put on the breastplate of righteousness. When the devil comes to say, there's no reason for you to pray, God's against you, you're not good enough, you're not righteous, you're not holy, you got to put on that breastplate of righteousness to protect yourself from the fiery darts of the enemy. And if you don't know you're righteous, guess what? You're vulnerable to attack. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, the gospel of peace is that through reconciliation you can have peace with God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is just like the breastplate of righteousness, only you can move it around. You know, the breastplate's just right here, but you can protect your head, your legs, your arms. You can protect the rest of your body with the shield of faith. You put it up when the devil sends his fiery darts. Take the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. And I believe that means, you ever watch any of the old movies? Every army had a helmet so you could tell one from the other. You know, they had distinctive helmets. If you look at World War II movies, you can spot a German helmet. Well, a helmet identifies who you are. Amen? So we need to identify with Christ. I'll never forget years ago, I had a friend that brought several Christian musicians to Marshalltown, to the Colosseum. He brought Petra there to the Colosseum, and he brought the second chapter of Acts, and he brought Larry Norman. I went to those concerts. In fact, I was privileged to pay for Larry Norman's plane ticket to get there. Larry Norman was kind of a rebellious Christian. Probably one reason he's dead. Died pretty young. It was just him and playing the piano and singing. And he asked people, how many of you are, and of course it was mostly, you know, younger people. He asked people, how many of you are Methodist? Ah, they read. How many are Baptist? Yeah, you know, how many are this and that and the other thing? And he said, no, you're not, you're Christians. And they all got quiet. They all had on the wrong helmet. Amen? Different helmets mean separation, not oneness. We need to put on the helmet of God, the helmet of Christ. So all that armor is prayer armor, praying always. See, if you're going to pray the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, you got to know you're righteous, but you got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because the devil does not want effective prayer life. So it says, be strong in the Lord as opposed to being strong in religion. Be strong in the Lord. To keep yourself aware of your position with the Father, you need to maintain a righteousness consciousness. You know, the Bible says that we can boldly declare that God is our helper. Now, if you don't know that you're righteous, you'll never boldly declare that. You'll say, I wish God was my helper. I sure need God's help. Where is God? Come on. But if you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you can do what the Bible says, boldly declare, God is my helper. Amen? Why? You've got right standing with God. Your enemies are His enemies. The weapons formed against you are formed against Him because you're the body of Christ. You know, Romans 8:19 is a pretty powerful scripture. And you know, every scripture of the Bible, every powerful scripture, the devil recognizes important scriptures. And so he'll try to twist them, just like we saw in Romans. He's twisted that pretty successfully. Here's another one he's twisted. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation, the uncovering, the revealing of the sons of God. He's talking about those who know who they are, not who wish they were. And that was hijacked. I think most of the hijackers are dead. But I can remember in about 1979, maybe 1980, a fellow came to me and he said, oh boy, he said, there's a guy at this little church down in Tama, Iowa, who's really something. You know, they're having some kind of, well, it was actually they were having the Feast of the Tabernacles. And I went. By this time, another speaker was speaking. They were having this seven-day-long thing. And this old man stood up, and he was the preacher. They called themselves the manifest sons of God. Other people called them the never die bunch. And their doctrine was, if any man comes to me, or whatever that scripture is, I can't think of it right now, he'll never die. Anybody who believes in me, shall never die. So their doctrine was they will never die. They're all dead now, of course. But they were the manifest sons of God in that they were never going to die. You know, most of their leaders had died. But of course, they missed it. That was their explanation. Well, they'd missed it. God's waiting for us to act like the sons of God. The revealing. We know we're sons of God, but the world needs to know we're sons of God. The world needs to know there are sons of God. You know, the world is, my goodness, is in darkness. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you saw this last week, but three young men got married to each other last week. Thank God it wasn't in America yet. It was in Thailand. But three young Oriental boys or Asian boys or whatever they are, I don't know, got married. Now, who's ever heard of that kind of debauchery before? And apparently it's legal in Thailand. The world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, and we need to know that we're righteous. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15:34. 1 Corinthians 15:34. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Awake to righteousness. See, if we don't know we're righteous, what we're going to be awoken to is religion. Come on. And religion not only stinks in the nostrils of God, it stinks in the nostrils of men. It does. When we awake to righteousness, what's the result of awaking to righteousness? We can sin not. Awake to righteousness. See, if you don't understand, if you don't comprehend, if you don't believe that you're righteous, guess what? You'll never act righteous. You'll be trying like a get-rich-quick schemes. Some way to get righteous. Amen? Awake to righteousness. It's vital for the manifestation of the sons of God to know that we are righteous. One of the things that distinguished Paul and Christ was they knew they were righteous, and because they knew they were righteous, they were fearless.